Blog Talk Radio.
The world won't get no better. with ya. Let it be.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Welcome, 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 podcast family, and thank you for tuning in. I hope you're having a good evening. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast, the Messenger Edition. I am Nurse Carmen. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge, and next we'll have a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and thank you all who time to join in tonight. I wanted to say I played that song a little longer because that song was written almost 30 years ago, and it's got so much for us if we would just take time to listen to the words. We have to understand that God works in mysterious ways, and God can use all different type of avenues to relay his message to you. We just have to be open to receive it. At the end, we're going to have a discussion period for like 15 minutes. I'm going to go through some stuff. And then in our closing, we'll have a little time if someone wants to ask some questions about something is being said. But I'm asking that as you listen to the words that are being said tonight, that you would just meditate on the words. And I'm positive that God would reveal some of these answers that you're going to have for me. God will reveal them to you if you go with it as an open discussion on God. Now, what I'm going to tell you now in this podcast, it may be very difficult for you. It's going to violate much of what is held as truth in your present thought system. Yet, I cannot let you go on living with these constructions. If this podcast is to serve you, we must now in this podcast teach some of these concepts head on. But it's going to be bumpy going here for a while, so here we go. I'm going to tell you this. There are no rotten apples. There are only people who disagree with your point of view on things, people who construct a different model of the world. I'm going to tell you this. No person do anything inappropriate given their model of the world. And then you might say, well, their model is all messed up. I know what's right and wrong, and because some other people don't, that doesn't make me crazy, because I do. They're the ones who are crazy. And I'm here to tell you that that's exactly the attitude which starts wars. Well, then you say, I know. I've heard many other people say, but how can I answer people like that? What could I say? Well, here's what you could tell them. Tell the people ideas of right and wrong change and have changed over and over again from culture to culture, time period to time period, religion to religion, place to place, even from family to family and person to person. You could point out to them that many people consider right, many things that people considered right at one time, burning people at the stake for what was considered witchcraft, as an example, is considered wrong today. You could tell them that a definition of right and wrong is a definition established not only by time, but also by simple geography. You could allow them to notice that some activities on our planet, prostitution, for instance, are in one place and just a few miles down the road legal in another. And so whether a person is judging has had been done something wrong, it is not a matter of what that person has actually done, but of where he has done it. Now, I'm going to repeat some things that I've said in the other podcast, and I know that it's very, very difficult for some to grasp, and to understand. But Hitler went to heaven. I'm going to say it again. Hitler went to heaven. Now, the purpose of these podcasts is to create readiness for new paradigms, a new understanding, a larger view, a grander idea. Then I know somebody's out there saying, I'm going to have to ask the question here that no other people are thinking and wanting to ask. How could a man like Hitler have gone to heaven? Every religion in the world, I would think everyone has declared him condemned and straight to hell. First, you have to know this. He could not have gone to hell because hell does not exist. There is only one place left to which he could have gone. But begs the question, the real issue is whether Hitler's actions were wrong. Yet I have said over and over again that there is no right or wrong in the universe. A thing is not instinctively right or wrong. A thing simply is. Now, your thoughts on Hitler was a monster is based on the fact that he ordered the killing of millions of people, correct? Yet, what if I told you that what you call death, I tell you this, at the moment will realize the greatest freedom, the greatest peace, the greatest joy, and the greatest love you have known. Shall we finish Briar Patch? Then you say, you're going to have however wonderful life after death may be, our lives here. Against our will. We came here to achieve something, to experience something, to learn something. And it's not right that our lives be cut short by some maniac hoodlum with insane ideas. First of all, you are not here to learn anything. Life is not a school. And your purpose here is not to learn, it is to remember. And on larger point, life is often cut short by many things. A hurricane, an earthquake. And then you're saying in your mind right now, that's different. We're talking about an act of God. Then you must know that every event is an act of God. Do you imagine that an event could take place if God did not want it to? Do you think that you could so much as lift your little finger if God chose the idea of wrongful death together? Is it wrong for a life to be cut short by disease? What about an accident, a stupid accident? Same thing. It's unfortunate, tragic, but that's the will of God. We can't peer into God's mind and find out why these things happen. We ought not try, because God's will is immutable and incomprehensible. To seek to unravel divine mystery is to lust for knowledge beyond our ken. It is sinful. Because if God wanted us to understand all of this, he would. The fact that we don't can't is evident that it is God's will that we don't. I see, the fact that you don't understand it is evidence of God's will. That it happens is not evidence of God's will. I guess, let me ask you, do you believe in God's will? That God is all powerful? Excuse me. Then you say, yeah, except where Hitler was concerned. What happened there was not God's will? You say, no. Then I say, how can that be? Hitler violated the will of God? Now, do you think he could do that if God's will is all powerful? Then you say, you allowed him to. And if God allowed him to, then it was God's will that he should. It would have seemed that way, but what possible reason could you have? No, it was your will that he has free choice. It was his will that he do what he did. So you're getting closer. It's free choice. So it was God's will that Hitler, that all of you have free choice. But it is not God's will that you be punished unceasably, unendingly. If you do not make the choice God wants you to make, if that were the case, how free has God made your choices? Are you really free to do what you want if you know you'll be made suffer unspeakably? If you do not do what God wants, what kind of a choice is that? So then you say, well, it is a question of punishment. It's just natural law, a question of consequences. You see, well, in all the theology and constructions that allow you to hold God as a vengeful God without making God responsible for it. But who makes these natural laws? And if we can agree that God must have put them into place, why would God put into place such laws, then give you the power to overcome them? If God didn't want you affected by them, if it was God's will that God's wonderful beings never should suffer, why would God create the possibility that you could? And then why would God continue to tempt you day and night to break the laws that God set down? And then you say, well, God doesn't tempt us, the devil does. There you go again. Not making God responsible. Don't you see that the only way you can rationalize your theology is to render God powerless? Do you understand that the only way your construction makes sense is if gods don't? Are you really comfortable with the idea of a God who creates a being whose actions it cannot control? Then you say, well, I didn't say that. You can't control the devil. You control everything. You're God. It's just that you choose not to. You allow the devil to tempt us to try to win our souls. But why? Why would God do that if God didn't want to have you not return to God. You say, because you wanted us to come to you out of choice, not because there is no choice. You set up heaven and hell so that there would be a choice, so we could act out of choosing and not out of simply following a path because there is no other. I can see how you can come to this idea. That's how God set it up in your world, and so you think it must be like that in God's. In your reality, good cannot exist without bad, so you believe it must be the same in God's. Yet I tell you this, there is no bad where God is, and there is no evil. There is only the all of everything, the oneness, the awareness, the experience of that. God, where God is the realm of the absolute, where one thing does not exist in relationship to another, but quite independent of everything. Where God is the place, all there is love. And there are no consequences to anything we think, do, or say, or do on earth. Oh, but there are consequences. Look around. I mean, well, after death, there is no death. Life goes on forever and ever. Life is. You simply change form. You say, all right, here, have it your way. After we change form, after you change form, consequences cease to exist. There is just knowing. Consequences are an element of relativity. They have no place in the absolute because they depend on linear time and sequential events. These do not exist in the realm of the absolute. In that realm, there is nothing but peace and joy and love. In that realm, you will know at last the good news that your devil does not exist, that you are who you always thought you were, goodness and love. Your idea that you might be something else has come from an insane outer world, causing you to act insanely, an outer world of judgment and condemnation. Others have judged you. From their judgment, you have judged yourself. Now you want God to judge you, and God will not do it. And because you cannot understand a God who will not act as humans would, you are lost. Your theology is your attempt to find yourself again. Then you're saying, well, you call theology insane, but how can any theology work with a system of reward and punishment? Everything depends on what you perceive to be the purpose of life, and therefore the basis of the theology. If you believe life exists as a test, a trial, a period of putting you through your paces to see if you are worthy, your theology begins to make sense. If you believe that life exists as an opportunity, a process through which you discover, remember that you are worthy and have always been, then your theology seems insane. If you believe God is an ego-filled God who requires attention, adoration, appreciation, and affection, and will kill to get it, your theology starts to work together. But if you believe that God is without ego or need, but the source of all things and the seat of all wisdom and love, then theology falls apart. If you believe that God is a vengeful God, jealous in his love and wrath in his anger, then theology is perfect. But if you believe God is a peaceful God, joyous in her love and passionate in her ecstasy, then theology doesn't make sense, and I sound like a crazy man to you. I tell you this, the purpose of life is not to please God. The purpose of life is to know and to recreate who you are. In so doing, you do please God and glorify her as well. Now, I guess you're saying, so why do you keep saying her? Or is God a she? God is neither a he nor a she. I occasionally use the feminine pronoun to jar you out of your parochial thinking. If you think God is one thing, then you will think God is not another. And that would be a large mistake. Hitler went to heaven for these reasons. There is no hell, so there is no place else for him to go. His actions were what you would call mistakes, the actions of an unevolved being. And mistakes are not punishable by condemnation, but dealt with by providing the chance for correction, for evolution. The mistakes Hitler made did no harm, did no harm or damage to those who death he caused. Those souls were released from their earthly bondage, like butterflies emerging from a cocoon. The people who were left mourning those deaths only because they do not know of the joy into which these souls entered. No one has experienced death ever mourn the death of anyone. Now, your statement that the deaths were neither less untimely and therefore somehow wrong suggests that something could happen in the universe when it is not supposed to. Yet, given who and what God is, that is impossible. Everything occurs in the universe is occurring perfectly. God hasn't made a mistake in a very long time. When you see the utter perfection in everything, not just those things with which you agree, but, and perhaps especially, those things with you disagree, you're on your way to mastery. We've been taught all of this through our podcasts as we've been teaching this, but for those who have not heard some of our podcasts, I thought it was important to have a basis of understanding early in the podcast. That's why I've led into this series of questions and answers. But now, before we go on, I'd like to talk just a bit more about some of the very complex theologies we human beings have created. For instance, I was taught as a child that I was a sinner, that all human beings are sinners, that we can't help it. We were born that way. We're born into sin. Now, that's quite an interesting concept. And how did anyone get you to believe that? Well, they told us the story of Adam and Eve. They told us in the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade catechism that, well, we may not have sinned, and certainly babies haven't, but Adam and Eve did, and we are their descendants and have thus inherited their guilt as well as their sinful nature. You see, Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, partook of the knowledge of good and evil, and thus sentenced all their heirs and descendants to separation from God at birth. All of us are born with this original sin on our souls. Each of us share in the guilt. So we are given free choice to see, I guess, if we will do the same stuff as Adam and Eve and disobey God, or if we can overcome our natural inherited tendencies to do bad and do the right thing instead, in spite of the world's temptations. Okay, and so if you do bad, then what happens? Then God sends us to hell. Unless we repent. If we say we're sorry, make a perfect act of contrition, God will save us from hell, but not from all suffering. We'll still have to go to purgatory for a while to cleanse us of our sins. How long will we have to dwell in purgatory? It depends. We have to have our sins burned away It's not too pleasant. And the more sins you've got, the longer it takes to burn them out, the longer we stay. That's what I've been told. But at least we won't go to hell, which is forever. On the other hand, if we die in mortal sin, we go straight to hell. All right, mortal sin as opposed to venial sin. If we die with a venial sin on our soul, we only go to purgatory. Mortal sin sends us right to hell. Okay. What's an example of these various categories of sins? Mortal sins are serious, kind of like major crimes, theology, felonies, things like rape, murder, stealing. Venial sins are rather minor, theological misdemeanors. A venial sin would be like missing church on Sunday, or in the old days, eating meat on Fridays. So this is, we're talking once again about right now, Catholicism. So God, the God that you serve, will send you to purgatory if you eat meat on Friday. You see, these are things. See how, as I'm saying to you, does anybody see how, I'm sorry, how silly it sounds? What happens? So it used to be a time in the 60s when if you eat meat on Fridays, you could no longer sin. The Pope forgave you for that. Pope changed his mind. So, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. Here we go with the have to's again, and what happens if you don't? It's a sin. So you go to hell. Well, you go to purgatory if you die. That sin's on your soul. So if you think about that, think about the constant fear that you're in. And that's that. And again, that's just Catholic religion. I didn't get to the Baptist or to the Muslim or any other Hindus or other ones. That's just a Catholic one. He's talking about living in constant fear. Now, God has not given us the spirit of fear. So we have to know that it's something wrong there already, that it's not what is set up for us. It's something that we are doing to ourselves. It's important that we understand this. A lot of this stuff we're bringing on ourselves. So let me tell you this. All events, all experiences have as their all experiences have as their purpose the creating of opportunity. Events and experiences are opportunities, nothing more, nothing less. It would be a mistake to judge them as works of the devil, punishment from God, rewards from heaven, or anything in between. They are simply events and experiences, things that happen. It is what of them, do about them, be in response to them, that gives them meaning. Events and experiences are opportunities drawn to you, created by your individual or collective through consciousness creates experiences. You are attempting to raise your consciousness. You have drawn these opportunities to you in order that you might use them as tools in the creation and experience of who you are. Who you are is a being of higher consciousness than you are now existing. Now, I just want to give those that might be listening, in case someone has a question or something that they want to ask. I'm now opening up the mic so that if you want to ask me something that you didn't quite understand, and maybe we can go over it and help you to better understand what was said. Does anyone have any questions or anything that they might want to ask?
Yeah, I think I have one. How you doing, man?
Good, good.
Following your thesis, then, there's no such thing as right and wrong. If there's no punishment, then there's no such thing as right and wrong.
Okay.
If killing over 20 million people in a span of 6-8 years is not wrong, I don't know what is.
Okay, well, just
where
think about
is
what
the,
you...
Go
ahead.
Where is the guidelines? So then that makes the death penalty immoral. It makes imprisonment immoral. The punishment in and of itself immoral.
Okay.
If
well,
there's no accounting for one's wrongs, if you will. I don't want to use the word sin because it might upset somebody.
No. Well, what
of
I
one's
want you
wrong.
To, what I want you to understand is what I'm referring to is in God's world. And what I mean by that, down here on earth, they have set up rules. Okay? This is why you're here on earth, they're set up. But don't think that God is judging you by the same rules that man has set up. That's what we want to understand. While you're down here, you've set up your value system of what is right and wrong. And that's fine. Because that's how you choose to be the best you that you can be. So there's no problem with that. The problem is we take those same rules and we give them to God as if God is now working off of your rules. You understand what I'm saying now?
I hear you. I hear you. I'm having very... let me put it this way. I started over the last couple of years reading the Bible. The sense that I really realized that I'm not going to live forever, and I'm going to have to answer to somebody.
Why?
For the crap that I've done in my life.
See, and this is what I'm here to tell you right now. Your answer for the crap that you did in your life right now. Your experience, whatever crap you're talking about, your consequences. See, it's not a punishment hereafter. You just have to understand there are consequences for your actions. And those consequences are automatically set up. It's not God sitting down looking at you, saw what you did in 1962 and punishing you today. What a man soweth, so shall he reap. That's just a universal law.
Yes, precisely.
And that's a universal law that God has established. And I just want us to get out of the mindset that once body deteriorates, that now we've got to decide, God has to decide whether he's sending you to hell or to heaven. There is no physical hell or heaven. Hell and heaven is right here on earth. So a man thinketh, so a man is. There are people that are going through hell right here on earth right now. There is no other place. And what we have to understand is God being all loving, he would not set up a place of such hell per se. It's not God's nature for that. What we're doing is we're projecting the things that are happening here on earth with what's going to happen when we get to the realm of God. And that's not the case.
Then what's the rationale, if for lack of a better word, for an the Old Testament? I've been reading where God got pissed off at some civilizations and wiped them out.
That's just man's writing. Events happened, and they blamed it on God. That's man's writing. That's all that is. We're talking about... Go ahead.
So then, if the Bible is written by man for whatever reason...
Uh-huh.
Then what's the sense of it in the first... It's like picking up a God's little acre.
Well,
the history of World War I, Part 3. It makes no difference.
it makes no difference. See, and that's what we have to understand. There are spiritual passages in there that people that were inspired by God wrote down. But it was just an inspiration from God to show you something. And instead of us taking it at that, we decided to make it a way of life, per se. Now, if you want the answer to anything, I'm not telling you not to read the Bible, but if you want a true answer from God, you go within.
No, I understand that. I understand.
Right. And so if you go within, you will get that answer. But what we've done is we choose not to go in and have that talk with God. We rather just pick up a book and read what somebody 7,000 years ago said. When you've got God right here in you, you know that there were times you started to do some stuff and something inside of you told you, no, 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 don't do that. Who do you think that was? What do you think that is? It's the God in you.
Mine was fair. Mine was fair punishment. I did not want to go to jail, which is what made me stay just this side of the law, if you will.
Right, but what I'm saying is, if you really stop and think about it, if you can remember that incident and you didn't do it, it was something inside of you. Yeah, you didn't want to go to jail, but it was something inside of you that reminded you that this isn't what you want to do. Don't do it. See, one of our problems is God is always speaking to us, but it's just a question of whether we're listening. We don't listen. How many times have you done some stuff that you don't even know how you did it? And I meant simple stuff like, hey, walk to the bathroom without no problem. Don't even realize you know what I mean? And you did it, and you did it fine. And so what I want you to know is God is with you always. Nobody loves you more than God. You know why nobody loves you more than God? Because you are part of God. And people, when I say that, they get a complex. But you have to understand just who you are. You've got to get away from that raggedy thinking that everything you've done, that the things that you've done were sins. They're not sins. What you did, they just did not agree with who you are now. Because you're evolving and you're coming to the knowledge of who you are. And for you to think that God has got a record book holding it, because when you finally get to where he is, he's going to pull out a book. Not going to do it. It's not so. And so it's important for us to change our way of thinking of this mean, vengeful God, because he's not. He's loving and kind, forgiving. He loves you so much that he's giving you all the attributes that he has. You have them. You just have to understand that you have them, because you use them subconsciously subconsciously all the time. It's time to start using the gift that you have consciously. Then you can see a change. Then you can see just how wonderful and marvelous you are. Instead of walking around here thinking that, oh, my day is going to come when I got to reckon for all that I've done. You've reckoned for it already. The consequences, you've experienced the consequences of your actions already. Now, you think God going to re-punish you again? That's not God. That's some theology. That's people's way of keeping fair in you to control you. God gave you free will to do as you please. I thank each and every one of you. Please, please, if you could, we'll be back again on Sunday at 8 o'clock, every Thursday and Sunday, 8 o'clock, so that we can continue this discussion, so that we can know exactly who we are. And once we get to know who we are, then we can see life as it is today in a whole different perspective. I thank you all very much. I love you. Good night to everyone, and may God continue to keep you.
Peace out.
Thank you.
Peace.